Hey, really the blessings, Lord, that you give us each and every day of our lives, Lord, a lot of them sometimes we just take for granted. Lord, help us to remember each and every day that you are the reason. And Lord, that you're good to us on a daily basis. And Lord, we should be giving you the praise and honor every day of our life. And we thank you, ask you to be with us tonight as we read. Give us discernment. Hide me behind the cross. It has nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And in his name I pray, amen. Now, I want to read some more here in a moment, but I call this the valley of blessing God. How much in your life, think about this before we take off, but how much in your life do you bless God? We always come wanting blessings. But how much do we bless God? Now, verse 1, I want to go over a few things. Who were the Moabites and the Amorites? Ammonites. They were actually descendants of Lot, by the way, through his daughters. They were enemies of Israel. They worshipped Baal and Molech. And they offered human sacrifices to him, mostly babies. These gods were the principal gods of the Phoenicians. They were wicked people, and they, honestly, they just hated God's people. En-Gedi, by the way, is a city of the Ammonites, on the western shore of the sea, of the Dead Sea. Now, this was a vast army, by the way. There was also some Edomites with them. Who knows who the Edomites were? They were out of so-and-so's brother. Yeah, Esau. Somebody back there went, Esau. Esau, Jacob's brother. And they were also, they also had a real issue with God's people, the Jews. And now this was a vast army that included the Edomites as well. And they were approaching God's people and really with the intention of destroying them. Now, Jehoshaphat and Judah went to prayer. You notice that Jehoshaphat in verse 3, and this prayer is 3 through 13, we're going to read in a moment, but he turned to God instead of anyone else. Now, if you read about Jehoshaphat, you'll find out that sometimes he went the wrong way, and he asked for help without asking God. Never was a real harmonious outcome, but nonetheless, the Lord took care of him. And he prayed, and he proclaim that all of Judah do the same. Now, let's read this prayer. It says in verse 4, well, that's the wrong chapter of my page. No, it didn't. Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, and they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? And he asked all these in a question form. But I mean, knowing, but he still asked it in a question form. He brought that up. Are you not the Almighty God? And all these questions. Verse 7, art not thou God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword judgeth or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Now, I want you to notice that verse 13. All the men of that area, all the women and the children, all of Judah went with him to prayer. I'm gonna be up front with you. If 75 million voters all turned to prayer, you'd see a big change in our country. But anyway, I'm going to go on with that. So the Lord's answer, verse 14, it's good when the Lord answers your prayers. It's really good when we turn to Him before we turn to everything else. Really, that's what we ought to do. But a lot of times, we want to try this and we want to try that. But as we see Jehoshaphat turn to the Lord, and I think he'd learned some things in the past. Verse 14, the Lord's answer came through Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, I want you to remember that in our life. I told you, I think it was last Sunday, Ephesians 6:12, we're not fighting flesh and blood. Even in this situation we're in today, we need to turn to God. And we need to be praying to God. And honestly, I'm going to be up front with you. I think we ought to bring it up to Him. I know what the Word of God says. The Word of God says at some point all these things are going to turn around. Everything's going to change in America. And it's going to go downhill, and then at some point, the rapture's going to happen, and then I got to get this straight in my head, my pills ain't working. And then the tribulation period's going to take place, and then there'll be a 1,000-year reign of Christ. Amen. I'll be coming back with Jesus for that at the end of the tribulation. That's going to be an unreal day. It'll be an unreal day in my mind and my heart the day I lay my eyes on Jesus. It'll be like, wow. Nothing on this earth can compare me to what that day is going to be like. Amen. I mean, when you read about people that came before the Lord after He was glorified, I'm not talking about Peter in the boat when he said, well, look, I've cast the nets and we fished all night. And he said, well, cast them anyway. And he cast them. Peter dropped to his knees. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinful man. But when John came before the Lord, he fell down like he was dead. You know, there's a big difference in walking. I've had people, you ever had people say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, why not? Really? You're going to fall flat on your face, what you going to do? When you come before an Almighty God, all that's going to change. It's going to be a whole different thing. So we need to remember that the battle isn't ours; it's God's. And when I'm praying for
for America, I'm praying as Jim Smith. You know, I want to go to heaven. Even so, come Lord Jesus, let's do it. But I also know some people need to get saved. I personally know what my grandkids are going to go through if this world does start going downhill worse than what it is. So when I'm praying, I'm saying, hey, Lord, did you bring them out of Egypt? Lord, you're the Almighty. Can't we turn this around here and give us some more time to preach the gospel and give us some more time to watch our children? Because that's our flesh that tells us that. I want to see my grandkids grow up and see if they marry a bum or a rich guy. I'm hoping to marry a rich guy because I need a retirement. You know what I would like to see my grandkids marry would be a missionary. Whether they're all the female grandkids, which is almost all of them, I would like to see them marry some pastor that's really serving the Lord or some missionary. I don't care if we send them off to China. That would just be wow, that'd be a blessing to me. And if they did, well, but if that ain't what the Lord wants for them, they don't need to do it. They don't need to do it because Pops thinks so. But I would like to see that. But so when I pray, I do pray in that direction. I pray the same thing that what's his name there was praying, Jehoshaphat. I do the same thing he's doing. Didn't you do this? Didn't you do that? You remember you said you'd take care of us. But I also got to say, but your will be done. And I also got to look at the same way John did from the Isle of Patmos. He said, well, even so come Lord Jesus. He knew what was out there. When he was looking out at Ephesus from that island, and he had seen all of what was going to happen. And he didn't know when it was going to take place, and we don't either. The tribulation period. But he said, even so come Lord Jesus. And really, that's what we ought to be praying for. But I don't think it's anything wrong with what Jehoshaphat prayed. And I don't think it's really that big a deal for us to do that. You got new grandparents tonight, huh? You know, she's got the cutest smile. When she smiles at you, it's just like, oh. Just kind of melts you. Yeah, you know? Yeah, it's not that. So the battle isn't ours, it's God's. We're fighting spiritual things. So, hey, the first thing we need to really do, honestly, is turn to prayer. Prayer is important. See, that smile just melts you. It really is. Now, let's look at verse 17. Where was that? Verse 17, he said, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. So we're constantly on the go, you know. Everybody in here is constantly on the go doing something. We constantly are on the phone. Constantly somebody's texting us, or they're calling us, some more than others. But we're always, I gotta go to Walmart, or I gotta go to Smith's, or I got a doctor's appointment, or we're constantly on the go. But I'm gonna be honest with you, we need to make time to be still and listen. I think that'd do us a world of good. Last week I had some issues I had to take care of, and it was constant go, 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 go. And I was on the phone all last week. Sandy got mad at me because I was on the phone all day. And the day I was leaving, I was on the phone. And it's like, give me a few hours. And then all the way up there, I tried to listen to some preaching. Oh, and I'd turn that off. Then I tried to listen to some music. And then I'm like, wait a minute. So I turned it all off, just me and the dog. And I had 8 hours.
Just me and the dog. She doesn't carry on that good a conversation, except when she needs to get out. Right about the time I was having some real issues, I pulled into Beaver, Utah, and I pulled up to the store and parked for a minute because I said, I got to clear my head and I'm going to grab a hamburger and then I'm going to head up the highway. Brother Tom calls and he talked to me for a minute. He said, let me pray with you. And I said, you know what? Yeah. Believe it or not, the dog didn't say nothing. She just lay there. And when that was done, I got my burger. And I pulled out there on the highway and off to the edge, going up the ramp, and I stopped and I said, okay, Lord, I asked blessing on the food. And then I just left it all quiet. And he started, it was more, I was getting some comfort. And I'm like, you know what, he's going to take care of my problems. He's going to take care of my situation. Which, by the way, he did. We need to take time to be still, listen, and watch the Lord work. I have no idea how the Lord done behind the scenes that kept my issues low, but I do know this. He was working. And everything, it just boom, 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 and it all worked out great. Now, the next day was a little different. You didn't pray enough the next day. No, I was kidding. The next day was a little different. There were some issues, but not with my main problem. So the Lord took care of the whole thing. He really did. Because we need to remember our salvation is in who? The Lord. That's who our salvation is in. And we should, honestly, we should keep that in our mind a whole lot more, I think, really than we do. If you think about it, we've got a inheritance that is not corruptible. It's not corrupted in any way, form, or fashion. It's waiting for us. It's reserved in heaven for us. Moth and rust and nothing like that can bother it. That's a good thing to know because there's a lot of things around here that you set aside for a while, and when you go back, it don't quite work like it used to. But we don't have to have that problem. Jehoshaphat and Judah's response to the Lord. This is important verse. Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korhatites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They hadn't even received the victory yet, but the Lord had spoke to them and they said, okay. And they started giving him praise. Look at verse 20. No, I'm in the wrong one. They fell before the Lord. Let me ask you a question. How many of us truly get on our knees before the Lord? Think about that. You don't have to answer it. I don't want to know. But how many of us truly do get on our knees before the Lord? And honestly, you think, well, yeah, but I give him the obeisance he should have. I give him the reverence and the worship. But you know it does a little something different to you when you get on the floor? When you fall prostrate out there, I've actually done that before. Laid flat out on the floor because of what was bothering me really, really. I had some serious prayers. I've stood before on more than one occasion out in my backyard when I lived on Booted Eagle and stood there like this and just praying. I didn't know what to do. Didn't even know what to pray. I just started giving it to the Lord because there was things going on.
I think that's very important because it shows a truly worship, but it also shows us we're giving of ourselves. We're recognizing God for who He is. That's one reason I had these altars done. Because it's one thing to sit in our chair or stand where we're at, but it's another thing. Because there's people in here that've got issues of bending down. I do. And I needed something that helped me to get down there. But it brings a whole different meaning, honestly, to your heart and to your mind when you take time to do that. Whether it be home, whether you go out in the middle of the desert and do it, whatever it may be, it changes a lot to the way you are praying and thinking. Now look at verse 20. Verse 20 and through 25 is the victory over the enemy. It says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, which, by the way, is down by the Dead Sea. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Believe in the Lord your God. When you pray, when you get serious, and whatever it may be going on, do you really believe in the Lord your God? Are you like Paul in Romans 8 and 38 and 39? Are you persuaded? We really should be. Paul said he was persuaded that death, height, nothing could separate him from the Lord, from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we really, really believe that when we pray? We should. Believe in the Lord your God, because, by the way, the Lord your God, when we think back, and that's why I said sometimes when we pray, I think it's good that we run these things through our head. It's not just in the Bible as good stories that he brought them all out of Egypt. It's not just in the Bible that he protected King David. It's not just in the Bible that he walked on water out to his apostles in a boat and said, yeah, come on out. And Peter, when we pray, I really think we ought to think about who we're praying to. He truly is the Son of God. We're praying to God, the Almighty, who created the world, the universe, everything that we can see, even the Hubble telescope. Everything it sees, He created it. He spoke it into existence. We should think about who we're praying to. Because He's the Almighty God. I've heard people say, well, the big cheese, the man upstairs, JC. No, man, we ought to be giving this man, this God, this Almighty God, some reverence. And besides that, what did he tell Belshazzar over there with Daniel? He said, I hold your very breath in my hand, and you want to make fun of me? And by the way, he died that night, but we need to be careful about who we're talking. Is it impossible, or would it be out of the ordinary for God to take someone out, one of his children? He would. I think the graveyard's got a lot of people in it that push the wrong buttons. I really do. I think they push God too far. I heard a sermon from a guy one time, and he entitled it, Don't Torque God Off. Think about that. We really don't need to torque God off. We really need to show Him the reverence that He should have. So shall we be established. Listen, it has the meaning, and when you look it up, of support, being carried, made firm, nourished.
He takes care of us all the way around. We'll be, if we put Him where He ought to be, worship Him like we should, we'll be established. It'll give us a peace and inner joy, a strength that we really can't put into words. Notice their response to God's blessing. Verse 26. This is where the title of the message comes from, by the way. Verse 26 says, "And on the fourth day, they..." Now let me give you a let me rewind. That's what I want to say. They went out to the battle. They didn't fight. I don't know what all happened. They got confused. The people did, the enemies. Maybe God sent some of His angels in there to confuse them. But they all killed each other. Friendly fire. they all sorted each other to death, beat each other to death, and there they all lay dead. And the Lord allowed the Israelites to go in there and clean up the spoil, and it took 3 days to clean up the spoil. They come out of there rich. They had lots. On the fourth day, verse 26, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah. However you say that, that sounds good to me. "For there they blessed the Lord, therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berakah." That sounds good. "Unto this day." Do you know what that means? Blessings. It's the Valley of Blessing. They went out there and they blessed the Lord. It said, "For there they blessed the Lord." They gave thanks, they blessed the Lord for what took place. How many times do we really honestly bless the Lord for what has taken place? Whether it's good or bad. First off, it was bad. They had to go out there and deal with the battle. But they also got the big spoil. Sometimes I think that we forget to do that. Too many times I think we seek God's blessings when really we should be giving Him blessings. We should be giving Him the blessings in the valley. You know, I like that one song I've sang before. The God on the mountain is still the God in the valley. But we feel a whole lot better when we're on the mountain, don't we? How many times did we bless Him when we're still in the valley? And we need to be blessing Him when we're still in the valley. Now look at God's reward. God's people are rewarded for their obedience. 27 through 30, and I won't read it, but 27 through 30, they leave there, they go back, and it says, "The Lord blessed Jehoshaphat that the rest of the time he reigned in Israel, they had rest." That was their blessing. No more battles. It put enough fear in everybody that watched and that heard about it that they like, you know what? We don't want to mess with it. You know, that's happened in our life. You ever heard of the Six-Day War? Back in the 60s? I don't know what part they don't understand about that because they still harass Israel. But I hadn't figured out what part they don't get. Here you've got all these Egyptians and whoever else was coming out across the desert in the 60s. We're talking about in the 20th century. All this fancy equipment, and they're coming through there in tanks and all of that, and this little bunch of Israelites are coming out to fight them. And these guys literally stopped their tanks and got out and ran. It's like, what the Lord put in their tank with them? You know, you got to wonder what was happening, and nobody stepped in and helped. The Lord took care of it, and but yet they constantly go against them all the time. They just don't learn. I don't know. That gets well. That's what Paul said in Corinthians. If a man want to be ignorant, let him be ignorant. And I guess that's the way they are. Amen? I don't know. Let's stand.